This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2019, held in Montgomery, Indiana, on March 1 and 2.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but afternoon sometimes can get a little sluggish. And I know the seat cannot, or the mic cannot absorb more than the seat can endure, so I'm not sure if you're, you want to stand and sing a little bit to make sure we're alive and well, you can do so. Well, we sing the song, I've Decided to Follow Jesus. Do you know what I want to do with my memory?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. If no one joins me,
thank you. You can be seated. Maybe we'll begin. Why don't we just pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together. We thank you for the way that you care about us and have called us to be involved in the church and also in school. And I ask your wisdom as we sit together and see how we can promote the school within our congregation. Lord, we love you and want to follow you in all ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I know that our own experiences shape who we are, shape our views. And so maybe I'll just tell you a little bit about my background, maybe giving you a little window into my life and maybe why I feel or say the things I do. Okay. Welcome to each one. And I was raised in a Christian home, and I spent the first 9 years of formal education in a private Christian school. The rest of my high school I finished at home. And in my teen year, or late teen years, early 20s, I served a year and a half at Faith Mission Home. Married in 2000, and then about 2005 was ordained as a deacon at the Rosewood Congregation in Northern Indiana. And then about 5 years ago was the first that I really became involved in the school. I was asked to be the church or the ministerial rep. And so for about a year and a half, I served there until the rest of the board asked me to serve as a teacher and principal. And that's what I am currently doing. This is my third year at school, both teaching 7th and 8th grade and also principal responsibilities, along with pastoring and being a father to 5 children. The first 20 years of my working experience was in commercial construction, and so I tell people I hit the midlife crisis and went to teaching, I guess. But that's now I teach at the school that I was taught at. And so in some ways I feel like my scope's a little limited in because I don't have a lot of exposure to...
Do you need any handouts or anything?
No, I'm not prepared for any handouts. Anyhow, so I feel like I'm just a little bit limited a bit in my exposure to other churches and the way they operate and some of the things that they would have to contribute. So I'm looking forward to, I do not have enough to go for 45 minutes. Well, maybe I should qualify that. It's never good for a preacher to say he doesn't have enough because too often we go over time. But I purposely want to reserve time for interaction. I think we can, as I would expect many of you to either be ministers or at least involved in ministry, so I welcome your input then. Our school has kindergarten through high school. We have about 45 students, and 20 of those are our own, and 12 are Amish, and 13 from nearby churches. Now, that'll be all for where I'm coming from. Just imagine with me a little bit, you have a salesman coming at your door, and just a well-educated salesman. He delivers an intelligent speech, or he's trying to convince you to make this specific investment. And it would definitely benefit you in retirement, but at a pretty considerable cost today. What would it take to convince you? Now imagine another scenario where you and your dad are in your shop and he just finished helping you repair some kind of maybe furniture repair or so. And as you finish up, he leans back against the workbench and then he says, "You know, son, I've been thinking about something that I did when I was your age. It really made me tighten my belt financially, but I did make this investment, and you know, it's been a solid investment for me. It's really blessing Mom and I at the current time. You know, you should give it some thought. You should give it some thought." Now, as we think about those two scenarios, which would you most likely find the most convincing, or give it the most thought? You know, as I thought about promoting the school in the congregation, I had to think of what kind of person do I really listen to? Who gets my attention? Who do I stop and take note? And, you know, I came to the conclusion that, you know, the people that we highly respect, the people that we listen to, are the people that we value, and those that we respect, I find myself tending to lean towards the values that they carry as well. And when they promote something, I tend to take note, at least listen, consider. And so as I think about promoting the school in the congregation, it needs to start before we get to the actual promoting the school place. You know, I think God has called ministers to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, one who cares and loves deeply those in our congregation, and one who is a servant leader, one who leads by serving. I'm often challenged at Jesus' words of where he was talking to his disciples. And he taught them kind of a different principle. He calls it a new principle here in the New Testament about leadership. In Mark 10, verse 42, he says, "You know, now those that were chosen to rule over the Gentiles, those exercise their lordship over them. Those, they exercise their authority. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever shall be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." Are you a servant of all? Maybe that's, I say that's an important element in the opening scenarios, because, you know, as I think about my dad, I think of one who is willing to do anything. There is just simply very little that he does not tackle. Just not so long ago, I walked in his shop, and a chair there, I guess I'll say, it looked like junk to me. And I said, "Dad, you're fixing this?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I know, but somebody asked me to fix it, so I'm going to fix it." And just many ways that if there's problems, there is nothing beneath his dignity to do as far as it relates to practical items. And so I think as I think about that, that kind of spirit, or the spirit that our congregation senses in our hearts, should be a loving and a caring servant leadership. One who looks out for others, one who looks ahead, one who is concerned about the here and the now, but a person that is involved enough to understand where the people are at before we even start promoting things, because relationship is very important. If we want to convey something, if we want to convince, we will need relationship. In order to promote anything, one needs to be convinced of the value that it has to our own life. And then, as a result of that, we can't help but just, it just escapes our lips. It's something we're passionate about. What is the school to me? What is the school to you? Is it that money hole that's just endlessly taking our funds? Or does the school actually enrich our church? Is it a valuable asset for us? What would we do without the school? You actually stop and think. I would just guess that we would have a whole new set of challenges in the church setting if we would not have Christian, godly, or schools, if we would not have teachers that flesh out in everyday life, in everyday teaching. We would have probably more challenges to deal with on a church level, and also probably in our homes. Jesus said, and I know this was in a negative context, but the flip side is also true, Matthew 12:34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And so what's wrong, or what's happening when after church or in any type of conversation, we can freely talk about the economy, how many RV shipments, you know, we can talk about vacations and the stock prices, or maybe it's the hay or bean prices, I'm not sure. What all do you talk about? What the president's doing in North Korea, or maybe it's the latest land real estate that's sold at an unbelievable price, and in the midst of conversation, somebody says something about school, and you're, school. See the school. Let me think here. See, that goes from September to May, right? You know, and there's just not a lot to talk about school because, well, we don't know much about what's happening. Well, why is it that we don't know much about school? You know, how did we know about all these other topics? It's because it's something that we tune our ears to. We look for, we read, we educate ourselves, we figure it out because our ears are tuned to that kind of thing, and we're passionate about it, and we just talk about it. And so are my ears tuned to the school? Are you interested enough to get involved, to listen, and to see what things are happening? What about all the children that run around after church? Or maybe they shouldn't run around in church house, but are around after church. Do we as pastors have time to talk to them about the things that they're doing and involved in the school? Grandparents, what are your grandchildren doing in school? Is there an interest there? Have you asked your teachers, or have you been there visiting? Or if you maybe you attended a event or something, take time to educate yourself and find out what's going on. There's other things. Well, maybe I'll just leave that. You know, as pastors, you already know that your life teaches a lot more than what is said right here over the pulpit. And I propose to you that if you want to promote the school, a lot more is going to be shown than by what you say over the pulpit. Your involvement, your vision for the school, your appreciation, your zeal, your interest, your excitement about it will go farther than a well-worded talk across the pulpit. An example I have that happened at our school, I think it was 2 years ago. One of my co-ministers, semi-retired, offered to teach my 7th and 8th grade boys how to weld. And so every once a week, I think, he came in his truck and he picked up two of the boys. I just had four boys in the 7th and 8th grade of that year. And took them two at a time. And they spent the whole afternoon over his shop. He let them pull out a torch and he tinkered around and taught them how to use a MIG welder and also a stick welder. And they loved it. They just looked forward to, I think it was Thursdays maybe. That was the highlight of the week. And he did so maybe about six sessions or seven sessions. And he enjoyed it as well. The interesting thing was that I think I heard at least a few different times after church in a conversation. Although I think it was on Wednesdays, because sometimes Wednesday evenings at church or so, you could hear, "Well, how was your day?" You know, "Well, he had one, two fellows there, and yeah, something happened," you know, and he was talking about his day. And you know, that's an informal promoting the school right there. He enjoyed it and was talking about it because it just came from him without even having to think about promoting that. And the dads were, in fact, one dad told me, I wish I'd have learned to weld. In fact, I thought, you know, thought about asking this fellow if he'd give me some training. So, you know, those things have a way of coming around and promoting the school. Another one of my co-ministers agreed to give a local church history to the high schoolers. Now, I come from northern Indiana, and there's quite a smorgasbord there. And so there's quite a few churches up there. And at first, the high schooler, you know, you can kind of imagine their local church history. Oh, they weren't too sure about this. But this elderly, wise co-minister said, yes, he wants to do this. And it was not just something that he pulled out of his head. He did some study. He had handouts. He had graphs. He took, I think it was six or seven different sessions that he came in and he talked about church history. And the interesting thing that I found was that, now my son, he is not one to, you know, if you want information, you have to ask. Because he's not a talkative kind. But I noticed that those times, at that day at supper table, invariably he was talking about some story that happened 50 years ago. And I thought, that's interesting. Something that they didn't figure they'd enjoy, but they ended up doing. And even more interesting than that was they were talking about it, and soon people of the church heard about it and said, hey, that's not fair. We want him too. And so he had to give it at church too. I don't think we ever said anything about promoting the church, right? I mean, the school, right, during that. But that's what was happening. That's happening. But that man sacrificed a lot of time, a lot of effort. But it was something he wanted to do. And that was a way that he found to promote it. I think it's good, and maybe it it relies a little bit maybe on the school principal, school teachers as well, but I think there should be a good communication between the school and especially the ministry team. And there's maybe times when we as a ministry team need to take the initiative to find out what's going on in school, what is happening, especially in school events and programs and picnics or special speakers that are coming in there. Take an interest, educate yourself, and be involved. It communicates support. There are many ways that people can become involved in the school, but it takes initiative, it takes time, it takes effort to be involved with chapel and hot lunches, field trips, have ladies come in and do some vocational classes of sewing or baking or different things like that. And sometimes it needs to start with the leaders to initiate and to do so. But it will be a blessing. Pray for the school. There is something, I don't know. I guess, I'll just say it this way. I'd never even thought about it that much, but Wednesday nights when we have our prayer meeting, invariably the school and the teachers come up. Now, that was just my experience. I mean, that's just something we always pray about. But recently, somebody that moved in said, now that was kind of different. We never prayed for our school much. And so, I don't know, I just thought that's the way everybody did. So, if you don't, I think you should. Pray for the school, the teachers, the things that are facing them. If you're, if the school is looking for teachers or something like that, that's something we can pray about and seek God's face. And in the same way, it also communicates that we're concerned about what happens. As I mentioned before, the school enriches the church in many ways. I have one of the first things that I do every morning after devotions is I have about 15 minutes of news time. And it is relatively often that sometimes things will come up in the news time concerning something that a preacher said. And sometimes they're kind of really different questions because, well, last Sunday I think I preached on, is your ear pierced? And that comes out of Exodus. But that made for some good Monday morning discussion there. And just the other morning, a young girl shared that her grandfather is dying. And she had tears running down her cheek. But you know, we had a good talk about dying, what it means to die, what kind of hope we can have if we're ready to die, why it's hard for us to face death, why our bodies don't want to face death. And you know, I'm sure homes also have those opportunities, but sometimes when children are among their peers, they talk about these things, you know, it's real life for them. And I think these are times that schools are making an impact on the values that the church is promoting. So let's appreciate. Let's make sure that we show our appreciation. One way we can also do that is to take serious thought of leadership positions in the school or the school board. I know that boards. School functions are different in different communities. Ours is a church school, so our boards are elected by our church congregation. And so usually we ask for nominations, and the ministry team actually sits down with these nominees. They answer a questionnaire to make sure we feel their vision, to see if they're willing to commit to this before it ever goes to the church. And I think we hope that in a way that it promotes the seriousness of the school. Make sure that the school funding has high priority. You know, sometimes I know as a deacon we have other things coming up, other immediate needs, but we try to make sure that the school offerings or so are not postponed or shifted around, but that those stay constant. And just, I guess, my personal feeling behind that is we tend to put our hearts where we put our money. And so I want to keep that in the forefront there. I forgot to mention, as I was thinking about take seriously who is involved in the school board, something that weighs on my mind as a teacher, and that is if you take consideration of the student that is in school for 12 years, he is under the influence of his teachers for probably about 13,260 hours, okay? As pastors, in a normal Sunday morning, Wednesday evening, that would take us 50 years to gain. So who's there? What they're teaching has some influence. And it's humbling. We definitely need the grace of God. How we do so in public ways, I don't have a lot of suggestions there. My thought has been just if we are passionate about the school, we care about the relationships that we have amongst each other, to build a foundation of where others will listen, seek to follow, public ways will just happen. But I think of one way that I know that I think has happened is when one of the ministry has, you know, was there at a science fair or an open house, some people call it, and noticed some things on the boards that the students had put together. And then in a devotional at church, he used it as an illustration or something. Well, you could just about see that student's ears go up as he heard his name or, you know, his project or something like that. And those are just ways I think that we can take a little time and invest. Also promote the church or the school in the church. I guess I am going to just now open it. I think we have a lot of wisdom in here, and you all are from different areas and different congregations. I would welcome your ideas of or discussion on ways that we can promote the school in our churches. Is anyone who wants to be first?
I think it was at the second School Board Institute. I was there, and the one speaker, the minister, chief board chairman, I think, and he made the statement this along the same lines about promoting school, and he said, you know, he thinks we need to have weekend meetings in our churches, just talking about school, the necessity of school, the importance of it. And I agreed with him. I went home, I was not in ministry at that time, went home, told the ministry, I said, here's a man's name. Please call him, have him come.
Okay.
I was school board chair.
Okay.
And it was a number of years later, he was a man, but he did come. And I was really blessed by just 1 weekend, just taking out time, you know, concentrating on school and blessing and community with the church and all that. So I first of all, highly recommend that. And I think we should just have a regular schedule, you know, every year.
So that was like a Friday night, Saturday, or?
Friday night, Saturday, Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a weekend thing.
No, we gave it the freedom to preach like on your Sunday morning, but we said the rest of it we want to have turn school.
Thank you. It's a good idea.
Regularly, but I remember one year I was teaching, the minister called up the teachers to the front of the church and just prayed a special blessing on them for the school year. And just kind of felt so concrete that the teachers are serving.
Mm-hmm.
Just one blessing in that aspect. And I just remember that.
Mm-hmm. That would be an excellent way as a school starts up too, having a little special service or something there to implement.
One thing I have done is our Wednesday evenings are a little different, but I often give time for anybody to share a verse or something like that. And the school children will say their Bible memory occasionally, and I will comment every time for encouragement.
Okay.
For that. For a younger person to get up and quote their school Bible memory in front of church, which it's, our church is really small, granted, but it still takes a little bit to speak out in church.
Mm-hmm.
Notice those times.
Thank you, Keith.
Churches have different traditions. Often the congregation will greet the ministry as they leave after the service. And I think it's valuable for the ministers to be able to name the children as they go through. Sometimes challenging, but I think it is valuable.
Building on relationships and involvement in children. I know that takes time and dedication. My former late bishop, that was something that he was made an effort, knowing every child's name, and that has a connection. There's something about hearing your own name as a child, knowing you are cared, and as especially coming from the ministry.
Our school has what we call school kickoff days, first day of school every year, and the board plans it's usually a half day, and the board plans activities, and the church is invited to come and play these games with the kids and stuff, and they have lunch and everything together. Not everybody comes because of work and stuff that can't always, but it's pretty looked forward to by a lot of people, and it gets people involved from church that don't really have kids in school.
So. Mm-hmm. This would be like on a Monday or whatever day you have.
That's. Yeah. It is a weekday, so not everybody can come because of work. But
mm-hmm.
People take off for it on Sunday.
Yeah, I know, you know, a large segment, at least, of our church would be school patrons. And so, but it's the younger married, the older, that don't have everyday contact with that school. And sometimes maybe we as a ministry need to be that conduit and I know some of that has to do with principals or so announcing or testifying or, you know, talking about school that can make a difference in bringing awareness. But, okay, any more?
I think one of the things that does help in our congregation a lot is for the ministry, the pastoral team, to connect the church vision with the school vision and have a lot of clarity of how that flows through. So even the children have picked up on that. And so just it flows both ways.
Now, may I further ask how would be some practical ways you have done that? I totally agree with that. You talk about it at the school, at the church. How do you do that?
Both. So our church wrote 5 and 10 year goals.
Okay.
In there, in those goals, there's a number of them that tie into the school. For example, the vision of the church was to have a high school choir. That was a church vision.
Okay.
A kind of a high school choir. So there's something for the school to reach for. Using being able to clearly articulate our faith in public, and not only understand why we do what we do, but be able to articulate that clearly. And so the church had a vision for that. And so the church asked that the school would bring that as a deliverable. Mm-hmm. So the school, in an attempt to figure out how to do that, we now have every year we have a speech class where we bring a speech teacher in to give for public speaking. And it's been some incredible impact on and we had some jealousy happen with that, because there was other people in church, younger families, other men, even some older people, can we come attend too? And at first, no, this was just for school, but now it's been open to we're actually having evenings now. It's a 2-hour session in the evenings. And so it's pretty intense, but now it's about half high school students, and actually there are probably more other church people than high school students now, so it's a real interaction there. So mm-hmm. We have a businessman and high school students both learning how to do public speaking at the same time. It creates a tie.
That's wonderful. Good. Anytime we have people wanting to do, to get involved, that's what we're after. And I think it depends a lot on our vision, our excitement, our zeal, our motivation to do something. We can get pretty excited about the $1 million project we're at on a construction site, or the type of things that are happening in the community or so, but yeah, we need that same kind of excitement and zeal to see what's happening, because these things will impact lives for the duration of their life. It could impact even other of their descendants, and destinies can be changed as well. Eternal impacts. We're going to leave all this other stuff here. Any more?
I was privileged to travel with Mark Webb this fall, last fall, doing CLE workshops, and the story that he told kind of ties into what Leland was saying there. In their church setting, the minister set up a schedule that the 14 to 16 year old boys read a Bible passage that the ministerial team chooses. Their goal was to get through the Bible in so many years, I don't know, maybe a while. They do not need to comment on it. All they need to do is stand up front and read clearly and with expression a Bible passage. And he said it drastically. They started to see a marked improvement in those boys at school in their reading assignments and all. And he said the one they weren't anticipating was the 12 and 13 year olds thought are starting to think about when they turn 14 and are putting more effort into school. So, you know, the plan there is kind of mushrooming a little bit to include more. It's helping school efforts, also public speaking, getting over that case of nerves that we had.
I like that idea.
Just something they've been
one,
trying.
One student
per Sunday.
Per Sunday morning.
Yeah, they do that instead of the devotional, I think, between Sunday school, and that's kind of how I understood it.
Okay.
It's not just a few verses. It may be a chapter and a half or something like that.
Good. That's like Bible reading and prayer at Calvert Bible School. For those that attended there. Anyone else before we dismiss?
Something that I've been blessed with different times is for like a Sunday evening thing at church to involve the school children or their current activities or something that they have learned, maybe even get the teachers involved. It's a way to get to have our people have a window into what's happening. So sometimes we have to plant seeds in order for that interest to grow. And that has been a blessing different times. Just various simple little things. It doesn't have to be a long planned thing. It could even be somewhat impromptu. But when children see that the people take interest in what they do and learn, it works both ways. It works for the children, it works for the parents, for the church.
Thank you. About 2 weeks ago, one of the elderly single men from our church came in for a chapel, and he read the parable of the talents, and then he said, I came this morning with an envelope and a name for every one of you students, and within that envelope, he had whatever their age was, they had the same amount of dollars. He says, I'm going to give you this, and these are your talents. And I want you to go out, and I want you to make 200, or make 100-fold, and maybe 200-fold, and see what you can do. Double it. Use that money and see what you can do. I am going to come back. I'm not going to tell you when. I'm going to come back. And I want you to tell me what you did with your money. And boy, they were all looking at him. One guy raised their hand. Well, what if I have the same amount? Or what if I lose? They said, what did we read about in the scripture in here to the guy who buried his talent? You better not do that. And they were just all kind of quiet, looking at their envelopes. He didn't say much, dismissed. But boy, the next couple days and the weeks, we have been hounded with all kinds of ideas how to make money and how to do this. And when, and we better get at it, or he might come back, or... And these guys are asking the whole church, you know, for things to do, and they want to clean cars, and they want to rent things, and, you know, yeah, it's one person, just a little idea there, and he's involving the whole church in a pretty interesting way. He hasn't come back yet, but they're working on it. Pretty. Go ahead.
Has anybody taken time to go to church and teach the, and I think this should be in my books a mixed class, the older grades, what it takes to lay out a sermon, a devotional, or give some direction one-on-one to the school children on how to prepare to deliver a message? Has anybody done that is what I'm asking?
Did you mean go to school?
Yes, go to school.
Like from the ministry or church coming to the school.
And present some of the thought process, some of the ways to compile it. There's a lot of ways, but just give some practical. Has somebody ever done that?
We haven't. Does anybody else? And it's partly in the at least 7th and 8th grade English where we have various topics in public speaking, but not necessarily that.
We do that in our school, kind of play off of some of those lessons in high school, but then turn it into where they have to prepare a devotional. Mm-hmm. And so they're given an outline and taught of different ways to do that, but then they deliver that, and then the community is invited in, is told when that's going to be, and anyone's invited in. Speeches. It's interesting, some of the crowds at that post-game or something.
So, okay.
Experience for that.
Good. Do you have something you want to share on that? Or
no.
Do you guys do that?
No, I don't do that. And I guess I wondered a little bit about that. How? I mean, I'm just going from my own experience. I didn't get taught anything about it. Sometimes it would have sort of been nice to have some older people say how to prepare it. Mm-hmm. Some of the things they go through, some of the thought processes, hey, we spend a lot of time in prayer about this, so just give them what we go through too. And I have never done it, but I just was wondering if somebody has tried it and if it worked or didn't work. Mm-hmm. But I guess if we're gonna carry vision, how do we promote the school? School's where I've learned what I do to share. I mean,
in high school English, about every year there's a lot, you know, it has to do with preparing a speech. And there's been different times when I've been going over it with my students, and I just tell them, okay, you're working on this, you're brainstorming, trying to organize stuff. That's exactly the way you go about doing a sermon. And share some of the inside things about a sermon and the challenges you face in getting ready. It kind of brings you together. The understanding of what they're learning may be valuable for them someday. Mm-hmm. And it also brings the preacher down to earth, realizing that mm-hmm. you struggle the same as other people do to put material together.
Yeah. I always just love when they say, when will we ever need this? And then I get into my preaching modes a little bit. Okay, thank you very much for input. I really enjoyed the added suggestions. God bless you, and thanks for participating.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.